I blinked. Son of a gun. I guess sometimes logic does work. I clenched my teeth, gripped my staff, and rose to confront Gray Cloak and blow him straight to hell. And stopped. If Gray Cloak truly was part of the Black Council, working to undermine the White Council and generally do whatever large-scale badness they intended to do, blowing him to hell might not be the smart thing to do. The Black Council had been, if you will pardon the phrasing, a phantom menace. I was sure that they were up to no good, and their methods thus far seemed to indicate that they had no inhibitions about the ending of innocent lives. Reinforced by Gray Cloak's willingness to burn a building full of people to death to cover up the murder of a single target, it fit their pattern. Shadowy, nebulous, leaving no direct, obvious evidence of who they were or what they wanted. If they existed at all, that is. So far, they were just a theory. Then again, Gray Cloak's getaway car had been just a theory, too. This could be a chance to gain badly needed intelligence on the Black Council. Knowledge is the ultimate weapon. It always has been. I could let Gray Cloak go and tail him to see what I could learn before I brought the hammer down. Maybe he'd lead me to something vital, something as critical as Enigma had been to the Allies in World War II. On the other hand, maybe he'd lead me back to nothing. No covert operation worth its salt would allow an operative into the field without planning for the contingency of said operative being compromised. Hell, even if Gray Cloak volunteered everything he knew, there would almost certainly be cutouts in place. All of which assumed he really was part of the Black Council. A big assumption. And when you assume, you make an ass out of you and umption. If I didn't stop him while I had the chance, Gray Cloak would strike again. More people would die. Yeah, Harry. And how many more people will die if the Black Council keeps rising to power? Damn it. My gut told me to drop Gray Cloak right now. The faces from police photos flickered through my thoughts, and in my imagination, the slain women stood beside me, behind me, their glassy, dead eyes intent upon their killer and their desire to be avenged. I longed, with an almost apocalyptic passion, to step into the open and lay waste to this murdering asshole. But reason told me otherwise. Reason told me to slow down, think, and consider how to do the most good for the most people. Hadn't I been telling myself only hours ago that reason had to guide my actions, my decisions, if I was to keep control of myself? It was hard. It was really, really hard. But I fought off the adrenaline and lust for a fight and hunkered back down, thinking furiously, while Gray Cloak got into a green sedan, started it, and pulled out onto the street. I crouched between two parked cars and waited, out of sight, until Gray Cloak drove by me. I pointed the end of my staff at the car's back panel, gathered my will, and whispered, "Fosare!" Raw force lanced out, focused into the tiniest area I could envision, and struck the car with a little pop no louder than that produced by stray bits of gravel tossed up against the vehicle's undercarriage. The car went by without slowing, and I got the license number as it left. Once it was gone, I murmured, "Tractis," keeping my will focused on the staff, and drew it back until I could rise into the light of a street lamp and peer at the end of the length of oak. A fleck of green paint, half the size of a dime, had adhered to the end of the staff. I licked my fingertip and pressed it to the paint, lifting it off the staff. I had a small box of waterproof matches in one pocket of the duster. I opened it with one hand, dumped the matches, and then carefully placed the fleck of paint inside. "Gotcha," I muttered. Gray Cloak, in all probability, would ditch the car before long, so I didn't have much time. If he slipped away, any further harm he caused would be on my own head. I refused to let that happen. I put the closed matchbox into my pocket, turned, and ran back toward Elaine and Anna. By the time I got there, the block was lit nearly daylight bright with the roaring flames from the apartment building and a steadily increasing number of flashing emergency lights. I found Elaine, Anna, and Mouse and walked toward them. "Harry," Elaine said, relief on her face. Hey, you get him? Not yet, I said. Got some follow-up work to do. You have somewhere safe? My room at the hotel should be safe enough. I don't think anyone here knows who I am. The Amber Inn. Right. Take Anna there. I'll call you. No, Anna said firmly. I glanced at the burning building and squinted at Anna. I guess you'd rather have a quiet night at home, huh? I'd rather make sure the rest of the Ordo is all right, she said. What if the killer decides to go after one of them? Elaine, I said, expecting her support. Elaine shrugged. I'm working for her, Harry. I muttered a quiet curse under my breath and shook my head. Fine, get them all and fort up. I'll call you by morning. Elaine nodded. Come on, Mouse, I said. I took his lead, and we headed for home. And little Chicago.